We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dawes.
Who are you again?
In the driver's seat.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
No. Y'all get me giggling. It's always fun up in here before we get started.
It is.
Once again, I am Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I want a second what she just said. Sometimes, if you all could just be privy to the 3 or 4 minutes before we go on air, it's quite funny. We have entertaining conversations.
And then
if one of us will say something really funny right before, literally before turning on your mic. So, hey, you're welcome. You know? It's intentional. You're welcome. But, yeah, it's great to be here.
Y'all are helping with my training, just going with the flow.
Yeah. It's okay attitude.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Now, it's good
to see you this morning.
It's good to see you, too. It's good to be
here.
Our
Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email us at ourpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. I think I got it all. It was all in different order, but...
It's okay.
Does it matter? You got it all in.
Going with the flow.
There you go.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Would you like to pray to start us
Would
out?
Would love to. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the moments of laughter and the moments of levity. Sometimes in our world, we get so caught up in everything else that we forget to enjoy each other's company and fellowship. And so I thank you for the program. I thank you for the people who run this program every day. And I ask God that today, as we talk a little bit about what it means to focus on you, that you will guide us through your Holy Spirit to hear your word and to live it out each and every day. So I want to pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Focus on Jesus, or the rocks will have to cry out.
That's right. So I want to start actually with one of my earliest childhood memories. Do you like parades? Do you? What do you like in a parade?
I like seeing all the people and the people riding the horses, mostly the people.
Yeah? Well, when I was 4 or 5, I could care less about that, just to be honest with you. Okay? I'm just being honest. All right? So when I was about, 4, 5, 6 years old, my dad and my papa, that'd be my mom's dad, they were both in the Shriners, Masons. Mm-hmm. And they were... they went and did parades. So my dad would come by, right? And he was in what they call the Oriental Band. And so he had this weird-looking horn, kind of looked like a shofar. And, I mean, it was cool, He'd walk by, I'm like, oh, it's my dad, Great. But a few minutes later, almost every parade, you could hear him. You could hear him long before you could see him. I don't care if there were clowns or fire engines or police or horses or bands and all that, the local high school band in whatever town we were in, I could hear them coming. And about that time, they either crest the top of the hill or turn the corner. You see, my papa was in a motorcycle group through the shrine called the Aladdins. and he had this big old honking bike, which sometimes I got to ride the parades with him on. But here he'd come. And here the Aladdins would come. And I mean, you know. And I mean, you could hear them long before you could see them. And I'd get so excited because here they came, you know, and they'd come down the street. And then they'd start doing their figure eights. And then let me just tell you, I mean, look, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I'm going to. I might have been the coolest kid at the parade because my papa would come slap my hand. The motorcycle guys are slapping my hand. It was so cool. I loved every second of it. And then, of course, they'd figure eight on their way out, you know, and they'd go by us. And in a few minutes, you know, they began to crest another hill or turn a corner, and the sound would start to fade. And then something would happen. I'd remember that we got up at 4 or 5 in the morning to travel to whatever small town in Oklahoma we were going to. And either I'd be cold or hot. And by this point, I'm hungry. I don't know if you know about parades, but you got to stand a lot. My feet hurt. And very quickly, I'd go from this excited young kid waiting for my papa to come on his bike to a very whiny, upset, angry young little boy. And so the reason I say that to you is I wonder if that sounds familiar to you at all. Mm-hmm. One of the things that when we think about the story of Jesus during Holy Week, I mean, we're recording this on Tuesday of Holy Week, is when we think about Jesus coming into Jerusalem down the Mount of Olives on Palm Sunday. You know, many of us, even in non-liturgical churches, but especially in liturgical churches, we'll wave palm branches. I know at our church, we had kids come down waving palm branches a couple days ago, and we'll sing the songs about Hosanna and all that, right? And there's this great sense of excitement. But I remember also, it was in my teen years, I remember asking the question of my Sunday school teacher one day. How could a group of people on a Sunday yell these beautiful things like Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord and praise be to God of Israel? And in a few days, be able to yell crucify. It didn't make any sense to me. Well, now looking backwards at it, it's no different than me as a kid. As long as there's excitement and anticipation and energy, I can get behind just about anything. Mm. But when the expectation is either not met or it's over, I can get against anything pretty quickly. I loved going to the parade. It was always a cool deal. Friday night, I was going to stay with Nana and Papa. We were going to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and jet off to whatever small town, Oklahoma. All sounds pretty romantic, right? We'd watch the parades, eat the local food, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then when Papa would go by, all those things would hit me at once. I was tired, cold, hungry, feet hurt. And then I'm like, I hate parades. How can you go from loving to hating so quickly? Well, the truth is, when you look at the story of Holy Week, you're really dealing with how quickly we as a people can go from Hosanna to crucify. Mm-hmm. How quickly we can go from loving Jesus to despising Jesus. And so today, we're going to look at that through the lens of the word focus. Because as long as we stay focused on Jesus, we shout Hosanna. Save us. We shout, praise be to the God of Israel. We shout, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But when our focus begins to move and our attention begins to be dispersed, very quickly we move into crucify him. And it's all about focus. Let me give you a little piece of background on this. On that Palm Sunday morning, I could imagine the anticipation in the crowd. The people that lived on the Mount of Olives. Because the prophecies had been clear that someday the king, the one who was going to conquer everything and restore Israel, and all the prophecies talked about this person was going to come down the Mount of Olives, into the, through the Kidron Valley and into Jerusalem, right? And imagine for a moment, I mean, we don't have, you know, we're talking first century here. There is no Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. There is no internet, social media. There's no instantaneous 24/7 cable news. Word of mouth, right, was the best way to transmit. And imagine what you've been hearing for the last, really, 3 years, but especially the last year or so. There's a guy, a Jewish rabbi up north in Galilee. We hear he's doing some healings. We hear he's preaching some incredible sermons. We even heard that he healed a blind man, and he told a guy about forgiveness of sins and that he could walk. And they're hearing all of these stories. And so imagine for a moment what they're hearing. They're hearing these, and they're like, is this true? Because if this is true, this sounds a lot like the prophets talking about a future king, about a future Messiah coming into town. So imagine if you're living in and around Jerusalem and you hear this king is staying the night in Bethany, which is just on the north side of the Mount of Olives, and that he's coming into Jerusalem on that Sunday. Because remember, Sabbath is Saturday, so it's the first day of the week is Sunday. He's going to come down the Mount of Olives. I mean, everything you've ever heard, everything you've ever wanted, is about to come to fruition. Can you feel that anticipation? Can you feel that excitement? It's no wonder that all of a sudden they line the streets. Now, these aren't, again, we're not talking about wide roads here. We're talking about, if you've ever been, so I had the privilege of walking down the Mount of Olives in 2014. And it's a windy, very steep, very windy, not very wide road. I mean, people, I can only imagine, were just packed in there like sardines, right? But this anticipation, they had to go see this. I mean, this is the guy. Now, not to mention, we're in the middle of Roman occupation in Jerusalem, remember? This is the guy who's going to come in and take over. He's going to kick out the Romans. He's going to restore the nation. He's going to reestablish Jewish rule. All the things that we had wanted from this Messiah. This is the guy. And so because of that, they respond accordingly. They pull palm branches and wave them. They take their outer garments off and place them in the road like they would for a king. They can't wait. They can hear the commotion miles away. And they can't wait for him to come by them. And when he does, all they can do is shout, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise be to the God of Israel. Do you blame them? They were so focused on Jesus to the point that there was such a frenzy that some of the Pharisees came out to see what was going on. And if you remember in Luke's gospel, it says the Pharisees went to Jesus and the disciples and said, would you tell these people to calm down? And that's when Jesus says, if they calm down and don't shout, the rocks will cry out. Right? It's a beautiful line. And all of it feels right. I have to tell you, one of the things that I mean, I've been a pastor now for 24 years. This is my 24th Palm Sunday as a pastor, and I mean, I'm 47. It's my 47th Palm Sunday overall, right? Sometimes I really like Palm Sunday. Don't get me wrong. I love Easter. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Easter, Easter, Resurrection Day. But in terms of worship, I've always loved Palm Sunday. I like the music on Palm Sunday. I like the images on Palm Sunday. Again, I was a band kid, so I know about parades, and I just get it, right? I don't know. I've always loved Palm Sunday. But one of the things I believe about Palm Sunday is it comes with expectations. These people, just like me, waiting on the Aladdins, waiting on my papaw to come across that parade route, had expectations. But interestingly enough, they were willing to forego some things. See, what you may not remember is they came out to see the king, right? Mm-hmm. The one who was coming to do all this cool stuff. But he doesn't come in on a big white steed, a big white horse. Do you remember very specifically all the Gospels record? He came in on a donkey. In fact, a colt, the foal of a donkey. A young donkey. Not a big white steed. And something you might have not caught originally, but if you're a king and you're coming in to conquer, you don't come in with a gaggle of tax collectors and fishermen as your entourage. You come in with an army. Nope, Jesus picked a gaggle of fishermen and tax collectors. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to start a revolution, then you come in saying, we're going to take up arms against our adversary. Not, peace be with you. But have you ever noticed that when you're in a frenzy, you're willing to overlook some of the most important details? My feet hurt. I'm hungry. I'm cold. But that excitement made all that go away, right? To see my papaw come across that parade route. All the things that they should have thought about went out the wayside because, by gosh, that's him. Mm-hmm. That's him. Right? So not only does he come, but expectations coming with him. When you have that kind of expectation, and that kind of anticipation, and you're in a frenzied state, you're willing to do just about everything or anything. Take your outer garment off. Take palm branches from the trees and wave them like crazy people. By the way, that's one of the things I love about Palm Sunday, when the kids start and then they end up hitting each other, and that's even funnier. but you know what I'm talking about, right? Even to the point that it's the first day of the week. Now, we think about Sunday differently, but it's the first day of the week. That's a work day. They left work. They left their livelihoods. They weren't needing the bread for the evening. They weren't going fishing for their meat. They weren't selling their wares at market. They literally stopped their life because of this. Because they wanted to focus on Jesus. And that sounds great. And it is great. As long as Jesus is who you think he is. Mm-hmm. See, the problem with the Palm Sunday narrative is not the Palm Sunday narrative. The problem is it underscores something that many of us do on an absolutely daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. The Palm Sunday narrative underscores what happens when you focus on the parts of Jesus that you want to see. That's not really focusing on Jesus. It looks like it.
Right.
It almost feels like it. Mm-hmm. They looked at him and said, political Messiah. He's going to come into town. He's going to go through those gates into Jerusalem. Because the way the Mount of Olives is, you come down the Mount of Olives, you end up at the bottom of the Mount of Olives, which is the Garden of Gethsemane. You have the Kidron Valley. You go through the Kidron Valley up this other side of the valley, and you're at the gate on the, that's the north side, I believe it is, of Jerusalem. You go in, the temple's right there. You mean, you can't miss the temple. It's this big, humongous building right in front of you. The Praetorium is right here where Pontius Pilate, the Roman government, lives. I mean, literally, Jesus is going to just keep right on going. And going to go right up to Pilate, take him out, kick out the Romans. I mean, you have these expectations because they looked at him and thought, he's going to come in and change everything politically, restore Jewish rule. He's going to kick out the Romans. He's going to move out the oppressors. And so they have all of these things that they believed about him. Well, so do we. Mm-hmm. How many of us like the part where it says, Jesus offers to forgive our sins? But how often do we read, your sins are forgiven, but you have to forgive others?
Mm-hmm.
Or how often do we love the part where it says, Jesus loves us? And then Jesus says, love your neighbor. I mean, how often do we hear Jesus saying, I forgive you, I love you, I care for you, I am with you, now go turn the other cheek and pray for your enemies?
Mm-hmm.
How often do we only hear part of the story? How often do we only hear the parts of the story we want to hear? How often do we only hear the parts of the story that seem to ever I'm thinking at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
For me as a little kid, the only thing that mattered, we would be in small towns all over Oklahoma where the local high school band was playing and the local firefighters and the EMTs and the, you know how all parades are. But I didn't care about the small town. I could care less what town we were in. I could care less about the firefighters and the, I mean, God bless firefighters, by the way, and police now. I'm not that guy anymore. But all I cared about was those motorcycles coming by with my papa on them. Not even my dad walking in the band did I care about. I just wanted to see the motorcycles. And when they were gone, I could care less about the parade. If they started the parade, oh my gosh, it was even worse. Because I got another hour to go, right? But that's what happens when you only focus on the things that seemingly matter to you. It looks like focusing on, in my case, the parade. It's really not. It looks like, in this case, focusing on Jesus. But it's really not. And when Jesus says to the Pharisees, if they're quiet, the very rocks will cry out, it becomes all too prophetic by the end of the week. Because the very rocks that didn't have to cry out will become the rocks that will. Mm-hmm. Because when we focus on the things that we think matter, instead of simply focusing on Jesus, you can go from Hosanna to crucify in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. It looks good. I said a minute ago how much I love Palm Sunday worship. I do. But one of the things that we've tried to incorporate, and I know it's really become a big focus, again, especially in liturgical churches, is on Palm Sunday because so many of our people won't come on Thursday. We have Thursday service and Friday service. We do Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, and Good Friday, the actual crucifixion. But so many of our people will come on Palm Sunday and then come back next week on Easter. And Palm Sunday's, rah, rah, Hosanna. And on Easter, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And it just looks so happy and amazing. It is. But we never deal with the whole picture. We don't focus on the whole story. And I think that's what happened to some of these folks. But before I condemn them, before I begin to point fingers at them for becoming unfocused, this is Lent, right? This is the 40 days prior to Easter. This is the time of introspection and reflection. Mm-hmm. I have to look a little bit inward and say, how often have I done that very thing? How often have I, in one breath, oh, Jesus, oh my gosh, I love you so much, you're so great, I just love you. And then the next moment, well, let me go do this anyway. Where sin is lurking at the door, Scripture says, right? Evil is just around that corner. How quickly we're willing to do those kinds of things. And so before we start condemning these folks for Hosanna to crucify in 5 days, it's a chance for us to really decide what it means to focus on Jesus. Because if we don't focus on Jesus, the rocks will have to cry out. Now in the second part, we're going to talk about what that looks like. What are the consequences of A, not focusing on Jesus, and what are the consequences of focusing on Jesus? And we're going to talk about the second half of the program.
You have some prayer requests, sister?
Yeah. Okay, first one is pray for the family of Thelma Baker who went to her heavenly home Saturday. And then if we can pray for my niece Jamie and my brother, Jamie's dog Marshmallow went to puppy dog heaven. Aww. Yeah, she's 16 and I bought them this Westie like, I don't know, she was maybe 2 or 3 and she's 16 now. And yeah, she's had Marshmallow for 13 years.
Yeah.
It was rough for her.
I bet you it was.
So
I still get teary-eyed. I'm not really a teary-eyed kind of guy. When we lost my dog about a year ago, April, or so next week.
Okay.
And I still get teary-eyed. It's just part of their family members. So I get it. I also want to make sure, when we're recording this, if you're watching this later, it is Tuesday, and this morning, barge, that big ship hit the bridge in Baltimore. Knocked over a mile and a half of that bridge into the river.
Oh goodness. Last I heard, and there was like 7.
There's at least 7 at the time. Now there may be more, I don't know, that they know are in the water that they're hoping to save. They're still doing search and rescue, and so we want to pray for search and rescue. We want to pray for those that are affected. It was very sad this morning when I woke up. I saw that, and it just broke my heart. No, we've gone through bridge collapse in Oklahoma before.
Yes.
Over on I-40 on the other side of the state. But near Weber's Falls years ago. And so it happened about our time, about 12:30, about 1:30 their time this morning. So there wasn't a ton of people on the bridge, but whoever was on the bridge, pray for them and their families. Yeah. Oh, okay. So while I was talking, I just got a little message on my phone. It said they did recover a couple of people that are alive.
Did they? Okay,
There's still numbers of missing. So.
From what I heard this morning, there was even construction workers
so they
on
were,
there.
There was construction workers doing some work overnight. You know, again, it's trying to work overnight so they weren't, because it's not rush hour.
Yes. And they have to do it different over there, y'all.
Still trying to figure out the accountability. So I appreciate, I don't remember which news network I was watching this morning. I was watching watching the weather, and then they went to the shot, and the mayor of Baltimore said, you know, we'll deal with all the what happened and whys. Right now, we are focused on trying to save souls and try to save those who are in the water. And so I just want to join with them in prayer. So by the time, if you watch this on replay, there'll be more information that we're talking about right here. But I do want to pray for them in their efforts.
And that water there is like 40-something degrees, y'all.
Super cold.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Almighty God, I want to lift up those that we've lifted up today, the family of Thelma Parker, for Jamie. I also want to pray, God, we've just been talking about those that are affected by the bridge collapse and tragedy in Baltimore. Unfortunately, we are all too familiar with mass casualty events and loss of life. And we pray right now, God, that if there are those that can still be rescued, that you work through those rescue workers, keep them safe as they attempt to do their job and try to save folks. And for all the families that unfortunately will be affected by this, I just ask for your hand of mercy, wholeness, and healing to be upon them. This is one of those moments, Lord, where I am thankful that when I don't know exactly what to pray for, your Spirit does it for me. Because I'm just going to put this in your hands. I do want to pray, God, for all of us this week that are in the middle of Holy Week as we get ready for Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then, of course, the Easter celebration on Sunday. And I just give you thanks, oh God, for the love and the grace and the mercy that we see this week especially from your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we be the people who bear that good news to a hurting world. We pray that in his name. Amen.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.